Friday, Torah Mansha, Aleph, Ia, Toshim, Pei, Beis, Reb Shalom Springer.
Good morning to you all. Good Chodesh, good morning, good Chodesh, Taka, first of Iyar today. I've taken an Inyan which we are really very familiar with, and I'd like to look at it from a new angle. So it's not calendarically topical, but on the other hand, we have just celebrated wonderful Yom Tov, each in his own way, and we've talked a lot about the Nisim, the Niflois, the Gadlus HaBeira, the Emuna, all of the Inyonim that Pesach brings to us, to our table and to our consciousness. But I want to go back a little bit to see how it all started. What is the background, the prelude? Now, a prelude should really be before the Maisa, actually. But sometimes, in order to understand the prelude properly, we need to know something about the Maisa first. So we do know about the Maisa, thank you so much, because we've just celebrated Pesach. Now let's have a look at what led up to it, and something that I think is generally missed. We say in one of the Shir Malos, and in fact it's Tehillim Kuf Lamed Gimel, Hine ma toiv uma noyim sheves achim gam yochad. So it is, isn't it wonderful, ma toiv uma noyim, when brothers live together, gam yochad, and in very great togetherness. And Rashi comments on this particular pasuk in the following way. Rashi says in Tehillim, Hine ma toiv uma noyim sheves achim gam yachad, kesheyeshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu bebeis HaBechira. It's talking about when the Ribbono Shel Olam is sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, Im Yisrael, and he's spending time, so to speak, with Yisrael, HaKuruim Achim. Yisrael are called Achim, that's our name, Achim, as we shall see. V'reim, v'yir gam hu yachad imohem. So this pasuk has particular relevance when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting with Klal Yisrael, who are behaving like Achim. And we need both parts. We need the Matoiv Umanoim, but we also need the Gam Yachad, which Rashi has just told us, the way Rashi learns the Posuk, is talking about the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all part of the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. Now, in fact, it goes on to talk about this particular capital, Kuf Lamed Gimel, very short capital, Kashemen HaToiv Al HaRosh, and we're talking about the anointing of Aaron, or of a Kohen Gadol, Yorid Al HaZokon, it runs down from the face, from the head, onto the beard, Zakan Aaron, Sheyorid Al Pi Midosov, and then it travels further, Al Pi Midosov, which is an expression of clothes. It goes on to his clothes. And this is a special brocha of the anointing process that Aaron had, that it went down onto his clothes, that the whole person was anointed in some way. And midoivad, as the Torah says, midoivad, that's how we know that the Taich in the Pasuk in Tehillim is talking about clothes. Al pi midoisov, velovash akoyen, midoivad. And so Rashi has told us that when the Ribbono Shel Olam is together with Klal Yisrael, who call themselves Achim, Toiv V'Noim, Achim V'Reim, then it's Sheves Achim Gam Yachad, then the Ribbono Shel Olam is there with them. Now the Baal HaTurim says in Baal Oisecho that the Ribbono Shel Olam has 70 names, and similarly Klal Yisrael has 70 names. And the first of these names is Achim. And he brings a Zoya, they bring a Zoya, there is a Zoya, the Achim, Leman Achai, Vereoi, Adabra, Nosholem Boch, is a Raya that Achim is one of the names of Klal Yisrael. And also, of course, we have the reference to 70, Vayhi Kol Yotzi Yerech Yaakov Shivim Nefesh, V'Yosef Hayim Mitzrayim, that we've got this idea of 70 for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, 70 for Klal Yisrael, of which the first of them is the name Achim. So, we have from our posuk, the Sheves Achim, we've got the famous Rambam. The Rambam says as follows, V'chol Yisrael heim ka'achim. We are all like brothers. In fact, we all are brothers. Shenema, bonim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem. Since you're all sons of Hashem Elokeichem, therefore, by definition, we must all be brothers. So we are the sons of all one father, and therefore we have this accolade of being brothers. And that's why, says the Meshe Chochmo, Klal Yisrael has got this name, B'ni B'chayri Yisrael, and he explains the following. What is the relevance or the importance of a B'chor? B'chor has a special significance. Among all the children, the B'chor, the firstborn, and I suppose this applies not only to a male B'chor, but also a female B'chor, that what that child does, it makes the parents into parents, because before that, they are two people living on their own, two people together, but they aren't parents. What the B'chor does is makes these parents into, so to speak, a family. And so similarly, Klal Yisrael made HaKadosh Baruch Hu into a parent. In other words, Father of the world, Avinu Shebashamayim, and it's our zchus, it's Klal Yisrael's zchus, that we made HaKadosh Baruch Hu into that parent. And that's why David HaMelech says what he does, Hinei Matov, V'noim Shebas Achim Gan Yochad. It relates to that, the fact that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sit with Klal Yisrael, we have this special significance of, so to speak, making HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the exalted figure that he is. Now, if we have a look, if we delve in, dig down a little bit into this posuk, excuse me. Hinei Matov, we have the following, that going back into our story, as I said we would, the beginning of the story is that Moshe encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the snare. And those psukim say as follows, V'yashem ki saw lirois, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Moshe Rabbeinu had diverted his path and gone to see the burning snare. V'yikra elav elakim mitoich ha-snare, V'yoyme Moshe, Moshe. And Moshe answers to that call, Hineni. Now, Chazal tell us that Hineni means more than I'm here. Much more, I remember as a child, to take the register in our school, in our class, and every child, if he was present or she was present, would say, Hineni, I'm here. In other words, I'm not absent. But Hineni doesn't mean that. Hineni doesn't just mean I'm not absent. It means Hineni, I am prepared to do and to carry out whatever the Rabbeinu Shalom asked me to do. We find this with Avraham Avinu as well. He says Hineni, and Hineni means that I am ready, waiting, able, willing, etc., to do whatever the Rabbeinu Shalom wants me to do. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu's response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the snare. Well, this is very, very questionable, because a little bit a while later, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu is putting up a mighty resistance to going to be the shliach, to be the Goel Yisrael. And we can have a look at some of the psukim. The psukim tell it to us very, very graphically about what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing. V'yomi Moshe el Hashem, Bia Shem Loi Ish Devorim Anoichi, another man of words, Gamit Mol Shilshoin, neither yesterday or the day before, Gamit Oz, Dabercho, Labdecho, from when you started talking to me, Ki Chvad Peh, Chvad Loshen Anoichi. And then Rabbi Shalom gives his answer, Misom Peh, we all know that. And Rabbi Shalom persuades him and tries to persuade him, and Rashi on Gamiltmal Shilshoin, Lo Madnu, Shekol Shiva Yomim, Hoyo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hu Mefate Es Moshe, that all the 7 days of their discussion, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is trying to persuade Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare, Leilech B'Shlichusoi. V'chol Zeh, so why is Moshe Rabbeinu putting up such a resistance? Why I'm asking this question is because we just read the psukim where Moshe Rabbeinu answered, Hineni. Hineni means just give me the command and I'm on my way. That's what he had. Here Moshe Rabbeinu is told, you know, it's like some sort of a child. Child says he's ready and waiting, and then as soon as you give him an instruction, he says, well, not that. No, I didn't mean that. Okay? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hineni, I'm ready to do anything you ask me to do, but not that. Yeah, I'm not going to go to Paro to intercede on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So what's it all about? What's this enormous resistance that Moshe Rabbeinu is putting up against the Kodesh Baruch Hu and his shlichus? The chol zeh, says Rashi, missed out a little bit, which is not relevant at the moment. Shaloi hoya roitze little gedula al Aaron ochicha. He didn't want to take away the gedula of Aaron. Aaron was the head honcho, the head man in Klal Yisrael, Shoya Godle Menu, Venovi Hoyo. Aaron was older than him. Aaron was the Novi. He was the big man in Klal Yisrael for 60 years, yeah, while Moshe Rabbeinu was away. Moshe Rabbeinu must have escaped from Mitzrayim when he was in his 20s. He returns when he's 80. That means there's a gap of 60 years. There's no contact between them. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is hesitant to take away the gedula of Aaron, his brother. And therefore he ends off by saying, Shlach no biar tishlach. And we learn from here that, in fact, he had put up a resistance for 7 whole days. So we see from these 2 Rashis that we learned that Moshe's resistance was not a sort of act of modesty or I can't do it. These are, if you like, the reasons he gives. I'm not a speaker, this, that, and the other. But the real reason is that he doesn't want to interfere with his brother Aaron. That Shaloi Rotzo Leilech, that if you think it's the Hineni, Chazal say, Eina Kein, Elo K'mechabed L'Aaron, and Achaloi Amadati Hoyo Aaron Misnabe, because until I turned up at the age of 80, Aaron was in Misnabe, he was doing all the hard work, and therefore I don't want to crash in on his territory. Omar Moshe Achshav Ekonis Betchumoy, now I should come at this great age, I should come along and take over, I'll be a competition to my brother. The Meitza, I'll make him, I'll put him in pain. So the Bale Musa picked this up as they do when Moshe Rabbeinu is Nimlach with Yisro, with his father-in-law, before going off. You know, he delays when he consults with Yisro, and the Bale Musa say the same thing as they're going to say here. In particular, Rav Chasman in Noah Yohel explains the following, a difficult thing for us to understand, where we are very pragmatic sort of people nowadays, and the human being often takes second place. Somehow or other, we've got to put the human being aside when the great mission and the great project is at risk. So I'm afraid we just have to push someone aside and their honor, if they are sort of put out, if their noses are put out of joint, well, so be it. That would be our general attitude. But it seems among the great people, certainly Moshe Rabbeinu, this was not the attitude. And in 2 cases, we have that Moshe Rabbeinu consulted with his father-in-law on whether he should go to Mitzrayim to take out the Jewish people. And here again, what we have is that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go because he would upset Aaron, which means that he delayed by 7 days until Rabbeinu Shalom got his way. It was 7 days until Moshe Rabbeinu agreed to go. And that means the Geula was delayed by 7 days. Because of his midas, he didn't want to upset Aaron. As I say, it's difficult for us to understand putting the mission, the greatest mission that has ever been, if you like, on hold because of, you know, I'm upsetting somebody and I'm putting somebody in a position where they're in pain and I don't want to do that. I think at the higher levels, possibly, one can understand it, but maybe at ours, we have, certainly I do, have some difficulty in understanding that. So the idea here is that although Moshe and Aaron had no shaychus in all the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was away, some 60 years, nevertheless he feels for Aaron. It's not as if they sent letters to each other all the time and kept in contact. Moshe Rabbeinu is prepared to delay the Geula by 7 days, and if it means giving somebody else sa'ar, then nisht vet the ganze Geula, in the words of the Oyer Yohel, Leib Chasman. And it renders the whole Geula worthless if it's at the cost of somebody's feelings. So Benonim Chaveroi seems to be paramount even in the face of the big project. Now, we move further with Aaron HaKohen. He's a very interesting personality. The Vilna Gaon gives us a particular rule, and I've heard that from Rav Tzodok as well, but the Vilna Gaon gives us a rule in general about understanding a certain concept, any concept. What you do is you look at the first occurrence of this concept in the Torah, and it works with the meanings of words, for example. It works, the Vilna Gaon mentions it in relation to the war of the four kings and the five kings in Parshas Lech Lecha, and various other things, that you look for the first occurrence in the Torah, and that defines what it is. In other words, all wars are defined on the war of the four kings and the five kings, because it's the first. So therefore, you look for the first, that tells you what it is. So where do we find Aaron? Where do we find Aaron, the beginning of Aaron? The first occurrence of Aaron in the Torah is Yud, the Kapitel Dalet, Posuk Yud, where we find this discussion. And Ribbono Shel Olam says at the end of that, what we were looking at before, Vayichaf Hashem b'Moshe v'yomer haloi Aaron ochicha ha-Levi. So he's described here as the Levi. Aaron ochicha ha-Levi, yodati ki dabi yidabi hu, v'gam hinehu yoytse likroscho, and he's coming to meet you, and therefore you've got nothing to worry about, nothing at all, you will not hurt his feelings, he's coming to meet you, v'roacha, and he will see you, v'somach b'liboy, and he'll be overjoyed in his heart, v'somach b'liboy. And that's the first occurrence that we have of Aaron. That means that this pasuk defines what Aaron is, because it's the first, according to the rule of the Vilna Gaon. And we know that Aaron is the great Oyev Sholem, Veroidev Sholem, and so it fits very much with our image and our profile of Aaron HaKohen. So he's still a Levi at this point, and of course the pasuk is telling us who he is. Actually, Aaron is mentioned 301 times in the Torah. This is an aside, not really, well, why 301? There are terutzim on why just that number, but the extra one is the occurrence over here, because he wasn't really meant to be mentioned, because it was Moshe Rabbeinu that was going to take. Aaron is only brought in as in order to solve the particular problem. That's why we've got the 301. Anyway, we know something about names. We know why Moshe is called Moshe, Kimenemai Mishisihu. We know why Miriam is called Miriam, because she was born at a time when it was Mar for Klal Yisrael, and she had the ability to ease that pain of Klal Yisrael. But when it comes to Aaron, we don't really know the origin of his name. The Torah just describes him as the Levi. Describes his characteristics. And Rashi says that you're wrong in what you think. It's not as you think that Aaron's going to have any sort of hakpoda on you. And from this point, Aaron was zoicha. Of course, he's promoted to be the Kohen, and this is where Moshe lost the kuhuna. So Aaron is promoted to be the Kohen, and he now is zoicha to this ornament, this adi of the choshen hanosan al halev, that's placed on the heart. And this is, in particular, a special thing that Aaron has got it. Let's see how Aaron was somach at Moshe's leadership. The Yalkut says as follows: Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aaron Ochicha Eino Meitza B'Dovah Hazeh. Aaron, your brother, has got no pain at all from this matter that you are going to lead the delegation to Paro. Elo Yismach Shu Yoytze L'Kroscha Loi B'Fiv. Not just sort of lip service. Oh, how nice you're here. Not at all. Ela Beliboy, he really means it. It's deep in his heart. And Taka the Medrash says, Beliboy Yoyse Mipiv. He cannot express himself enough of the joy he has at seeing you and seeing you becoming the leader. He felt more joy within himself. It's beyond words. He cannot express himself of how much joy he really feels the Torah is made. And therefore, that was Aaron. And as a result of that, he is zoicha to two things. Now, there's a Gemara in Gemara Shabbos, Kuflama Tess. There are just two Ma'amores from particular Amora, and he's called Rab Miloi. Rab Miloi is just mentioned twice, and this is one of Rab Miloi. It's not Simloi, there are the Geusas, but apparently it is really Rab Miloi, and he's not mentioned anymore, except this other one time. Omer Rab Miloi, B'schar v'roach v'somach b'liboi, zocha l'choshen, choshen ha-mishpot al liboi. Because the choshen ha-mishpot is on the heart. So because Aaron displayed this tremendous feeling of the heart, that means that he really felt it in the depth of his personality. He was zoicha of something that will rest on his heart. Now the Ben Yehoyada explains that it's very nice coming together. The word lev, lamed base, if you write the letters which are hidden, so lamed is spelled out lamed mem dalet. The hidden letters are mem dalet. And base, the hidden letters are yud tof. And together those four letters, mem dalet, yud tof, spell out the word tomid. So the point here is that it's not just Aaron is overjoyed at seeing his brother, but it's tomid. It's the tomidus of the thing that gives it its value. That's the point. That Aaron was overjoyed with Moshe Rabbeinu taking over the senior position. Not for a day or two or three, but until he was 123. For the rest of his life. Tomid. And therefore he deserves the choshen that has got to be a lev Kohen Godol. Tomid, it's got to be there all the time. Chaim Shmulevich explains Maral in the following way. That when a yid suffers kinna, yid has some certain kinna, he's jealous about somebody else who's got something, and it always means there's some chisoron. Kinna equals chisoron. There's something missing from his life. So Aaron had not the tiniest bit of kinna of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the source of kinna is always chisoron. When we lack something and someone else has it, that's where kinna starts. So, because we feel the lack of something. But if we have the middah of smeach b'chelkai, If we are happy with what we have, if we have that midah, then kinah cannot not exist in us at all, because we always have everything we need. So therefore there is no chisoron in us when we have the midah of sameach b'chelkoi. And Rav Elia Lapin used to say, state v'darshe Hashem lo yachsuru kol toiv. Darshe Hashem lo yachsuru kol toiv doesn't mean you'll have everything. It just means you won't be mechusa anything. You won't lack for anything. Darshe Hashem will not lack. And that is the point. If there's no chesaron in the person, then there's no kinah. Aaron was a complete person, and he was happy with what he had, and therefore he was zoche to what he was zoche. Kinah can only exist with chesaron. So when Moshe got the job, Aaron is a ro v'somach beliboy, and beliboy yosa mipiv, even more so than he could ever explain. You can only put an ornament on something that is complete. If something's not complete, you wouldn't have decorated it. You do the decoration at the end when something is complete, whether it's a building or a person or whatever, clothes, then you put an ornament on it. So Aaron getting this ornament, as we said from the Pasuk, quoted in Rashi about the ornament, that it can only be for a person who has this shlemus. And Aaron had the shlemus, and therefore he was the one that could be zoicha to the choshen. So the heart of Aaron is sholem, and he's zoicha to this, to the choshen. So the Ro of a somach is a terribly deep matter, and there's no hakpoda, and we're beginning to understand the idea of sheves achim gam yachad. It means just that people can live together in such a way that each one feels he, she has what he needs. There is no mokum for kina. And indeed, I'm reminded of something that is relevant to Pesach, where the Meshech Chochma explains why Kois Shlishi is said with Birchas Hamazon. The third Kois is Kois Shel Birchas Hamazon. And it corresponds to the Loshen V'Yitzalti. And he explains as follows, very interesting juxtaposition. V'Yitzalti, I'll rescue. I rescued you. V'Yitzalti, I rescued you. You rescue a person, like Hatzola, when a person's in an emergency situation. So the Boishim rescued us. And the Meshech Chochma explains that we were rescued because the Mitzrayim were actually after our lives. They were killing us. And that was the eventual sort of plan. They were going to use us for as long as we were useful. And then they were going to do away with us. So we needed rescuing, killing our children. And the point is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to rescue Klal Yisrael, it was perfectly clear to him who were the oppressors and who were the oppressed. The oppressors were the Mitzrim. The oppressed were the Eden. But no Eden were oppressing other Eden. Otherwise, it would have not been clear who are the oppressors and who are the oppressed. But it was crystal clear at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim who are the ones, who are the persecutors and who are the persecutees. Yeah, it was absolutely clear. And so the Rebbein Shkuk can then effect a rescue. So nobody was jealous of anybody else. What's the connection with Birchas Hamazon? Hazon es ha'olam kulo v'tuva v'chein v'chesed. When we say those words, if we really mean them, then we're saying, Ribbono shel Olam, you give each and every one of us what we need. You give him what he needs. You give me what I need. There's no mokum for kinah at all. There's no strife between people. And that's why the third kois and that loshen is particular twins together with that. So here we have an idea about Moshe and Aaron. And just one point I want to make to finish off, which is that when they met, one kissed the other. In fact, Aaron kissed Moshe, but Moshe didn't kiss Aaron because he considered him a Dova Kodosh. Vayifkasheyu b'har lakim, that they met at Har Lakim, which is the mokum of the Beis HaMikdosh. And Dafka on Har Sinai, Har Lakim was Har Sinai, not the Beis HaMikdosh, on Har Sinai, where Moshe becomes sort of so great among Klal Yisrael, of course. And so often when we have counter-competition, we go through the motions of welcoming, you know, somebody opens a shop down the road. You go through the motions, have some nice, opened a shop down the road, and ki'ilu, that you're really overjoyed. And maybe you make all the motions as if you're very happy for that guy, but deep down, you're quite resentful of the fact that someone else has opened a shop similar to yours down the road. Aaron, of course, wasn't like that, as we have explained. No deep down sadness, no deep down resentment at all. And this Haralakim, Rav Chaim Shmulevitch explains, is the prelude to Har Sinai, which was Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad. In other words, Moshe and Aaron, the way they met, B'Liboy, etc., and the way they behaved towards each other, the way Aaron behaved, laid the groundwork for Klal Yisrael being able to come together at Har Sinai, Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad. It all comes from Ruachah, Samach B'Liboy, comes from there, from Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe and Aaron, as brothers, and the way they got on, and the way they promoted each other without any hint of resentment at all. And so, therefore, we should march on with our Sfiras Omer onto Har Sinai, and hopefully all become Shevesachim Kam Yachad. We should all become Ish Echad, Lev Echad, be Roy Lekabel Torah, Yimitz Hashem, Bimheira, Bimheira.